welcome, everybody, to episode 595 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Pranches, alongside my trusty cohort, Eric the Great. Breakman the Bold will be joining us soon. He's having a little bit of technical difficulties. Just a reminder, in about a month, we are going to give away a free video game of your choice. Could be a PS4 game, could be a PS5 game, whatever you want. It could be an Xbox game, an Xbox Series X, whatever the hell you want. I have a trivia question I will ask on that show, and we will, you know, we'll give it away then. And it's an interesting question. I'll give you guys a quick hint. It's horror movie related, so might want to brush up on your horror knowledge real quick. So there you go. That'll be about a month from now. So actually 5 weeks from now. So Eric, how are you doing, man?
Hold on a second. Okay, there we go. I'm doing fine. I need to load a link. Sorry.
That's okay, man. It's all good. All right, man. Well, let's go ahead and get started with the show proper with the news.
RPG News.
All right, Eric, you are up, sir.
Okay, from RPG site, we've got turn-based cyberpunk RPG Keylocker announced for PC. Munana, who also created the game we talked about called Virgo versus the Zodiac, has announced Keylocker, a turn-based cyberpunk RPG, set released for PC via Steam. Much like the developer's previous title, the game draws inspiration from RPGs such as the Mario Luigi series. In Keylocker, you play as a musician named Bobo, or is there, are those zeros? I don't know. And uses the power of music to fight against a dystopian world.
Okay.
And a turn-based rhythm JRPG.
Wow, turn-based rhythm RPG. There's a few of those that we've seen. So that's. I mean, it's not a new concept, but I like the art style. Looks kind of like retro to me, which is really cool. Trying to get Break on the line here. Let's see if we can get Break. But it does look cool. Does look cool. Calling, Break Man. Pick up, Break Man, wherever you are. It looks cool. Eric, I don't know. What do you think of that game?
I wonder if you'll be able to use dance pads to play the game during the rhythm segments.
Yeah. The dance pad. You know, did you ever have...
Or the Guitar Hero controllers or something. I don't know.
Yeah. The Guitar Hero. No, the dance pad would be definitely better, man. That would be awesome, man. I used to have that dance pad for the Xbox, man. It was pretty cool. Trying to call Break Man, but I don't know what's going on here. So let's, I don't know. Let me hang up on you, Eric, and I'll call you right back. But let's get back to it here. Let's see what's going on here. I don't even know what the hell's going on, man. Join, man. I'm trying to join. Jesus. You gotta love this shit, man. Like, seriously. Let me call Eric first. Sorry about all these technical glitches, man. It happens sometimes.
You need to prostrate yourself for Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, get Break on here. He's definitely gonna get chastised. Holy shit, what happened here? Okay. Calling again, Break. Come on, Break. Come on, Break, man. We're just starting the show, and this is what happens. All right, let me get to the next story, and I'll keep trying.
Broke man.
Oh, you know, he's unavailable. Don't know what to do. Let's try it. This comes to us from RPGsite.net. Cyberpunk RPG Jack Move announced for Nintendo Switch and PC. Doesn't have a date. It says there's no date. So there you go. It just says the Steam Summer Festival, June 16th through the 22nd. There's some key features, you know, turn-based combat system, great variety of enemies, deep story, Pixel Art, Cyberpunk, and Diversity of the World and the Secrets, so loved by JRPG fans. So, it looks cool, too. It's another retro game. Eric, I don't have much to say about it. How about the next game or the next story?
The next story is about the next Horizon game, Horizon Forbidden West for PS5. That's all we have to really say other than the fact that it seems that they're doing more like jungle and beach type areas this time around.
Yeah. Jesus Christ, what's going on here? I'm trying to call break, but it just doesn't seem to be working. I don't know what's wrong with...
Also, there's underwater gameplay now.
I did see that, Eric. This is from the... Sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once here, getting break online. It looked good, and I did like that they added something a little bit different, Eric, with the underwater stuff on Horizon Zero Dawn 2. I played Zero Dawn 1 a little bit, and I liked
it. It's not Zero Dawn 2, it's Forbidden West.
Yeah, I mean, it's what it is, Eric. I mean, it's a sequel. That's what it is, dude. It's a sequel. Forbidden West looks good. It's definitely going to have all the zeal of the first game and all the bells and whistles. It's looking really good. So
I hope they can get better voice actors, though.
Yeah.
For the NPCs, not necessarily for the main characters, because the NPCs are just, they're goofy.
Yeah, for sure. But, I mean, it's a fine game otherwise, graphically, and the story's good. I did think that the voice acting was the weakest part of that game from what I played.
Also, make the side quests worth doing, because I don't feel like doing any of them, because there's too many, and I think the world's too big for its own good, and I think the game would probably benefit more from being a more linear narrative.
Yeah, I agree with that too, Eric, but people would argue with us, you know. I mean, I guess we're just two old school RPG players that like that linear experience, but, you know, whatever. All right, let's move on to the next.
Early's like de-incentivizing us from doing the side quest stuff by making it hard to do.
Yeah.
And, like, we can do the storyline missions, and then, like, the game will give us big hints to tell us maybe we should start doing some other things.
Yeah. Okay, let's move on to the next story. This is exciting. Demon's Souls Remake announced during the PS5 event, and I don't think there's much more to say than that. Let me read this quick description that was removed, Eric. It says, from Japan Studios and Blue Point Games comes a remake of the PS classic Demon's Souls. This remake invites players to experience the original brutal challenge, completely rebuilt. Look at this, Eric. Completely rebuilt from the ground up. So that's interesting. So it says... masterfully enhanced with a new, quote, fractured mode. In addition to beautiful shadow effects and ray tracing, players can choose between two graphic modes while playing, one focused on fidelity, one focused on frame rate. And I think that's a welcome addition, Eric. I'll take 60 frames per second if they got it over a graphics, you know.
Yeah, a console Souls game at 60 frames.
Yeah, great. I know. I'll take it. I mean, I think that would be pretty cool, pretty good, right? I mean, Bloodborne, on the regular PlayStation, Bloodborne wasn't even hitting 30 frames, man. So, and I don't even think it hit a consistent 30 on the PS Pro.
So, yeah, it didn't get any frame rate boost. It just got loading boosts, really.
Yeah. It really didn't get frame rate boost. So, I don't know, man. Demon's Souls looking good, man. The trailer is exciting. It looks like a complete overhaul. So, you know, that's good news right there, Eric. All right, what do we got next?
Maybe Breakpoint could do a Bloodborne port afterwards.
Oh, that would be great. I would trust them, man. They did a really good job with Shadow of the Colossus. So,
but what do we got? After that, we've got Project Aitha, which is from Athia,
yes,
Square Enix, which doesn't only Like most of the trailers in this presentation, it was a bunch of CG nonsense, no gameplay. But it kind of reminded me a bit of the demo that they did back when they did the first PS5 reveal.
Eric, it wasn't CG. It was developmental footage. So it's actually footage. I don't know if it's it's definitely not final footage from the game.
But it still doesn't give you a good impression of what the game's about.
Yeah, so. It doesn't really tell you what the game is about or anything like that. But it's another intriguing project. So, you know, that's cool. That's really cool. All right, do you have anything else on that, Eric?
No, not really.
All right. I mean, it's something to get excited about and think about. I mean, Square usually goes all out with their presentation, so, you know, it's hit or miss on whether the game is going to be good or not. Here's something kind of exciting for PC players. RPG Maker MZ coming to PC this summer. So there you go. Dejica Games and has announced.
If you're getting tired with MV, you've got MZ now.
yeah, there you go. It doesn't specify if it'll be different, how it'll be different, but, you know, it's coming soon, and it's, you know, it looks like it's pretty decent. So, I mean, it's RPG Maker. What do you expect? You know, I mean, you're going to be making, what, 16-bit games on this thing, so. You know, there you go. All right, Eric, what do you got?
But we've got Bloodstained DLC roadmap, the free DLC. You don't have to pay for this because there is paid DLC, which is just a bunch of items. Which some of it's probably not really worth it, but unless you want to get the Koji stuff. But anyways, Boss Revenge and Chromobile, and Boss Revenge is basically Boss Rush, so that'll be coming along soon.
Yeah, and that's something that Bloodstained players would probably be very interested in.
But the Chromobile is a completely reworked hairstyle system, including options for hair, clothing, and skin. I guess instead of preset choices, you can actually choose between a gradient.
Well, that's cool. I mean,
but later updates will include Chaos Mode, which is another. Boss Revenge Mode is it's four in-game bosses and it's a time attack.
Okay.
Boss Rush is just doing all of the boss fights in various different conditions, so it's slightly different.
Yeah.
But Versus mode, which is a survival mode with competitive play, with local and online sport and breakman.
Shit, you guys can't hear me, can you?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay, Jesus.
Not over that bell, though.
That was an adventure, Breakman. I tried to wait as long as possible to get you on, man.
But, I know. Well, I've been going through that adventure. I've been actively looking online, buying a new laptop because
that's awesome.
Because I'm surrounded by four laptops right now. One of them's my work laptop, so I can't use that one.
Did you use your measly bailout money?
Yeah.
One of them is the one I was going to try and use, my older one, which I turned it off, and it is still as hot as a fucking oven.
Wow.
And then there's stuff on
that. Porn.
Mrs. Brickman's old Acer, or actually it wasn't that old. It's newer than mine. I can't even figure out what the fuck's wrong with this one.
Yeah, that's weird, dude.
But then there's like, to finish off this article, but there's also Classic Mode, which lets Miriam fight bosses across five stages of three difficulty levels. So I guess they're kind of sort of trying to do something like Curse of the Moon. But and a new playable character, which they haven't announced. And apparently it's not Dominique, so it might be OD.
It's Simon from Simon's Quest.
No, they couldn't do that.
I know, man. I'm just fucking with you, man.
Could it be Nermal if it's not Odie?
Yeah. Maybe Loki or Captain America.
Maybe Garfield.
I was kind of hoping for Captain America, man.
Odie is basically... Odie. They ripped Alucard from Symphony of the Night and just gave him a new name. and a different personality, so he's not exactly the same character, but he might as well be the same character.
Yeah. All right, let me... Let me go ahead and do the next story. Break. Just you get a break from the news this week. It'll just be okay, Eric and I. Cool. That way you don't have to scramble.
Yeah, God knows when I'll get kicked out again. I mean, this is just ridiculous how this computer wants to go to sleep all the time, and I couldn't even get it started this time. Like, that's, Jesus.
I know. I don't even know. What the hell's wrong with your damn fucking
computer? And then when I got started, Skype hates me as usual.
I know, man. It's so weird. All right.
I wonder what Questbuster is.
I know. Where's Dungeon when you need him? Pretty 1-2 exploded and reloaded.
Speaking of Dungeon, I noticed you got the video working.
I think it's just a Twitch thing, dude. I think Twitch fixed it or Restream or whatever. Okay. So
I mean, that's pretty awesome that it's working.
Yeah.
You reminded me of it when you said his name, and I see it's working. It's awesome.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. I'm glad it's working. I didn't know it would be working. I thought it was just busted permanently, so that's great. Pretty 1-2 Exploded Reloaded launches on October 13 in North America and October 6th.
That's my birthday.
Yeah,
that's another birthday gift idea for me.
Well, there you go. You want this for your birthday, Eric?
Maybe.
Okay. October.
I'd rather have that. Visual novel double pack. But
okay. Well, we'll discuss later, man. It's a ways away. October 16th in Europe. So there you go. Geez, I know someone else that has a birthday coming up. Who is it, man? It's like the.
I think his name starts with F.
It's kind of coming. It's the 20.
He exiles people a lot.
It's the 26th of this month.
Fred?
Yeah, no, I don't think it's Fred. No, it's not Fred. It's close. It's close.
He says it with an F.
Yeah. No.
I have to think freak about this one. This one's hard.
It's definitely.
Oh, it's Freak. Oh, it's Freak. Okay. Hi, Freak. Hey, Freak.
How dare you guys? Okay. Eric, let's do the next story.
Next story is that cross code for consoles has been dated for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, and Nintendo Switch for July 9th and retail release on August 28th. And yeah, the retail release is pretty extravagant, actually.
Yeah, what's going to be in the retail release that's special?
Well, there's an LE edition they're doing in addition to the standard edition, but it's got a bunch of junk that's not mentioned here. It's for weird whatever reason. But if you want to just buy the digital version, that will cost you $20.
It looks like classic old school action RPG.
I've heard a lot of good things about people who played the Steam and GOG versions of the game.
This looks good. This looks really good, man. I mean, really, really good. It looks like a classic, I don't know. Would you consider this like a 16-bit era action RPG, Eric? It sort of looks like that. It looks really good. I mean, yeah. I'm down. This game looks good. It's called. What's it called?
It's giving me all the feels.
It's
man,
a game.
Yeah.
From what I know, the setting in the game is about you playing in an MMO.
Oh, okay. Well, still, I mean. It looks good. Like, I agree with you, Brake. This gets all.
I don't
all
think you're stuck in the MMO, though. I just think it's like people are role playing.
Yeah. Well, this hit definitely looks like it's going to tick all the boxes. So yeah, heck yeah, man. We'll all be able to play this. What's that, Brake?
It tickles the feels.
Yeah. Freaks in chat. You say Freak's name and he appears in chat. A freak
happy
appears.
Birthday, Freak.
Yeah, happy.
He's probably like, no.
Yeah, happy birthday, that. Freak. Apparently, it's your birthday. So, Breakman said
he's coming up.
Breakman said he's going to give presents for all of us.
Fred, but I was told it was wrong.
So, there you go. What's up, Freak 5? Hey, Freak 5, is the video working for you? Just out of curiosity. It would be cool if it is. So there you go. All right. And I think we got a couple more stories left. This next story comes to us from Gamatsu. Amber Lab announces Kena, Bridge of Spirits for PS5, PS4, and PC. Not much in the way of anything. And there's a couple of trailers if you want to look them up online. And there's not even a date.
And it's technically a timed exclusive for consoles. So it's going to come to the Xbox One like a year later.
Okay, cool. Well, I'm glad the video's working, Freak 5. Thank you for letting me know. So there you go. Okay, Eric, do the last story.
You know, I don't have a problem with timed exclusives because it usually gives them a chance to get out bugs and stuff like that they find in the original.
Yeah, I agree. For either console.
Or, you know, DLC.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like, it feels like the people who get it originally are the beta testers.
Yep. No, I don't have a
it's
problem
like
with that
buying
either.
a Fallout game before they
that's
come
how
out with
that's
the
how
game
people
of the
felt
year edition.
about playing Vesperia on the Xbox 360 and then it happening to be on the PS3 a year later.
Fallout games
It's like
never get
we added
repaired.
this other stuff and you're never getting it
You know, I threw
until
in
10 years later.
I threw in Skyrim the other day, guys. I meant to talk to you guys about this. Like a couple weeks ago, I threw in Skyrim. I didn't play it because my wrist is still hurting, but that game is still buggy as fuck, man. God damn! Like there's so many
They never
bugs.
fixed it.
Yeah, they never fucking fixed the game. I don't understand it. Like they're the
Or
one.
whenever they did, they made more bugs.
And every time I tried to,
Yeah.
yeah, every time I tried to play Fallout, the same shit, man. I'm like, this is one major company that for some reason gets a fucking pass on everything, man. Like
That's
they.
because they're so good at storytelling. That's
Yeah,
why.
I know. Their stories are good, man. No question, man. Skyrim is excellent in my opinion, but and Fallout, of course, is super good too. So, but still, man, what you would think like that high profile, they could get some people that could take care. I mean, there's for fuck's sake, there's people out there that would be willing to do it for basically free, you know, maybe just a little bit of credit, you know, on something. But of course, you know, those companies have to be so tight with their code and not, you know, spoil anything for anybody. So, whatever. All right, Eric, you got the last story.
Last story is about how 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim finally has a release date in the West.
Yeah, what
After
is.
being delayed numerous times in Japan, releasing like about 6 months ago, you got a Western date for September 8th.
What is this game, Eric? What, like, is it.
This is VanillaWare's latest game.
Okay, but, like, what is it? Is it an RPG? Is it.
It sounds like it's not an RPG. It sounds like it's an adventure game slash visual novel type of deal, but with 2D side scrolling because it's using the same engine as Odin's Ear and
I
stuff.
mean, it looks good, like from the video, but yeah, Freak Five says his birthday is in January. According to Break, it's today, Freak Five. So,
Apparently, it's very ambitious in the narrative,
okay, I mean
which
that's
is
cool.
why it took so long to come out.
Yeah, I mean it looks gorgeous.
It sounds like it's doing multiple character swapping like Odin's Sphere did, but there's probably lots more characters going on at
Yeah,
work.
Break, have you ever seen a game from VanillaWare like Dragon's Crown or I know you haven't played them because I think they're
Yeah.
exclusive to the PlayStation, but have you ever
Rub
seen
it
them?
in. I've seen screenshots, maybe some
But
video
I
that's
need to
about it.
mention that due to COVID-19, it's hard to get English voice actors to do work and get it recorded on time for release.
Oh
So
shit, all they gotta do is call me.
it's only shipping with Japanese audio, and the English DLC will be available for free later.
I thought a bunch of them had studios in their homes. What's up with, like, why
Because
can't they do it?
not everybody has the same setup, and sound quality might be an issue.
Okay, I see what you're
They
saying.
all they gotta do is call me. I'll give them all the audio they want, all the voice acting that they want. I can't do the chick voices. Maybe we could get Freak Five to do that, but I could do all the male voices for sure. So, okay, looks
I could
good.
do all the high-pitched voices.
I'm
Wait,
sure if
oh
COVID
shit.
didn't happen, this game probably would have been releasing about right now.
Yeah, it looks great, man. I mean, I don't know what it is, but Breakman, I only ask you that question because, man, like if it unless you see like really high fidelity video of it, I mean, it doesn't do the game. The games look gorgeous. Like if you play those games, they look really good. VanillaWare, I wish VanillaWare would port their stuff over the Xbox, man, because then you would get a chance to see some of that stuff. Like, great examples, Dragon's Crown, man. That's a fantastic game, man. It's a great game. I have that game.
Yeah, I've seen the video of that game, especially. That one looks like a lot of fun. As a, I like brawlers, you know. They're
Yeah.
just they're sit back and relax type fun, just
Yeah.
button mash.
Yeah, Bernie and I finished that game, man, and she has no clue how to play those brawler type games, and it was a ton of fun.
All you
So.
have to do is keep hitting A.
Yeah. That's about right, man. Come on, use your special move, goddammit. We're on the boss, you know. Like, you got to shame your partner if they're playing with you, you know, and they never played, you know. God damn it, why didn't you hit the X there? You know, it's like, you know, that.
God, why don't you know what the fuck you're doing? For fuck's sake.
Yeah, you got to shame them into playing great. You know, that's the way to go, man. Okay, finally, that was the news. Homie discounts, nothing for you this week, although PlayStation's running stuff. I know Xbox. Do you have anything specifically with Xbox that's running this month, break?
They had some decent deals that I can't remember off the top of the head.
Yeah. Just like me, I know PlayStation has a ton of shit on sale right now. Mm-hmm. Like Dark Souls 1 was half price for $20. Dark Souls 3 was on sale for 9 or 13, depending on the version that you wanted. I picked both of those up, and then there was something else. But so there you go.
But the PS Plus CD keys price is actually under $30 right now.
Ooh, that's a good deal, man. If you got money for that, pick that up and use it, because that's fantastic. I might pick that up after the show, man. That'd be really cool. Okay, what else we got here? Yeah, it's at $29.89. That's an insane deal on PS Plus, even though I really think online should be free. But they do give you access to 2 free games a month, which, you know, is hit or miss, but whatever. Breakman, should I hit your music or nah?
Oh, shit. You know what? I didn't even have a chance to check yet. I was just having so much trouble.
Yeah, no worries.
Let me scroll through here and see if anything happened. I didn't see anything the other day, but maybe I missed it. So it's always helpful to scroll and look and just keep talking like I know what's going on.
Yeah, you never
good at not shutting up.
Yeah, you never want dead airspace, man. That's the key to podcasting. You never want dead air. You just keep stalling. You know what I'm saying, Breakman? You just keep stalling.
Right.
Wait.
When you can't find what you're looking for, you just keep talking about anything else.
Yeah, you just like how, like, you know, was your week good and, you know, stuff like that. And you just eat up airtime. You know what I'm saying, Breakman? So, while you're still looking, right? I mean, you're still looking, or are you ready to go?
Oh, no, I'm definitely not still looking. I stopped with looking.
Okay.
That's why I stopped talking, is because I was disappointed and sad.
Oh, poor Breakman. Send Breakman a question at RP Grinders. He'll answer anything. All your COVID questions.
Feed a hungry Breakman.
Yeah. He hasn't had a question for 2 weeks. That's getting lean, man. I don't know.
I'm going to start dying soon.
You got to give him some life force.
You need Twitter food badly.
Okay. So I guess that means we need to move on to
Inquiring Minds Want to Know.
All right, Breakman. Inquiring Minds Want to Know. What have you been playing?
I've mostly been playing Final Fantasy 15. I'm back to doing the enjoyable stuff again. The end game stuff is what I was doing in like Chapter 8, like the hunts and going into dungeons and all that stuff that was I was really enjoying. Like before the game took the dark turn and it's kind of rushed towards the end.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, still I'm enjoying it, and there's still a lot of. I'll be doing this for a while because there's still a lot of stuff to unlock and a lot of stuff to do. I've also been playing the PSP, so I went to a used game shop and picked up some games I'd never owned before, including Lumines 2. It's a fun game. I guess now that they had more for the sequel, they had better knowledge or better name recognition and probably more money. They got licensed, like groups to do actual music videos, or well, I shouldn't say to do music videos. They're actual music videos in the game. So while you're playing the puzzle and, you know, trying to solve it and think of what your next move is, right behind it is the Black Eyed Peas telling you to pump it.
How distracting is that, man?
Yes, it's very distracting.
How do you pump the blocks?
Yeah,
I'm like, wait, is that guy doing martial arts? What the hell is going on? Like, oh, shit, fuck, God. Now I missed my combo. God damn it.
Oh, man, that's a fun game, but I can see how that would be very, very distracting, man, for sure. Yes. All right, so what else have you been playing, Break?
That's it.
Okay, Freak5 says he's been playing Animal Crossing New Horizons, Friday the 13th, and Octopath Traveler. Good choices, my friend. Good choices.
Dude, you could probably, any of those for the Switch, you could probably sell those for like $5,000 right now.
Yeah, probably. Eric, you're up, man. What have you been playing?
Just more stuff in Scarlet and Xenoblade Definitive Edition. Yeah. But I finished that, and I started a Future Connected epilogue segment.
Yeah.
But I don't have a review for it yet, so maybe next week.
Okay. I haven't really been playing. I tried playing, like, just a little bit of Dragon Quest, and I could tell, you know, if I were to play Dragon Quest, my wrist would be right back where it was, so... I put it down and, you know, regrettably, because I hate not playing video games, but, man, this...
Should you play it in, like, a different way? Maybe, like an arcade or something? Like, put the controller down and do it like that? Or maybe... Because Dragon Quest doesn't require a lot of dexterity.
Yeah, I mean, I thought about that, Break, but I mean, it doesn't matter, like, which way my fingers are working.
I think there is a way to play it somewhat one-handed.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's there is a little bit of dexterity because you got to avoid the monsters and stuff if you don't want to get into all those battles and stuff like that. But I hear what you're saying, Break. But I'd rather just like let my wrist heal completely and then start again. That way, I don't run into the same problem I was having. You know, like I would pick up the controller for about an hour, and my wrist would just feel like shit. And by the time I got done gaming, like it would be just like. Noodle, you know, like just hurting. Freak says, quit jerking off so much. There's such a thing as jerking off too much, Freak? I don't understand. Break and
only when it starts to burn.
Yeah, okay. Well, see, I haven't gotten to that point yet, so
there's too much. That means you're jerking off too fast and there's too much friction.
maybe that's what it is, man. Yeah. Well, jerking too fast or maybe jerking too hard, you know, that's there's different things, you know, so there you go. All right, let's move on to reviews.
RP Grinders reviews.
Break, do you have any reviews this week?
What did I do this week? No.
All right, Eric, you're up.
I got a review for Steven Universe Future, which won't take long because I talked about the show previously when we talked about the movie in order to talk about the movie. But it is the sequel series, which is more or less the final season of the show because it's... the movie is the bridge between the two, and it's about the 2 year after the 2 year gap post the movie events of the movie. So it centers on him finding his place in the world again after his biggest purpose in life, which was to defend the Earth from the other crystals, the diamonds, and him discovering who he is basically. So growing up. And it has a really good send-off, and there's many episodes that, like, involve dark subjects, like the PTSD he has had from all the fighting he's done, and dealing with all that stuff. And I recommend people watch it, especially over the original series, but you kind of need to watch the original series.
You think Liu Kang has PTSD from, like, all those fatalities he pulls off? Because, like, Liu Kang is, like, the ultimate winner of all those Mortal Kombat tournaments, right? Like, that's how kind of the story goes, right? So you think Liu Kang has, like, PTSD from, like ripping people's heads off and chomping them with dragons and, you know, shit like that?
Make a Mortal Kombat game about him getting over his
exactly.
mental issues from all the... murder he's done.
Yeah,
I know. He's gotta go to therapy at least twice a week. Sit around. Well, gameplay mode is him sitting around in the circle. Hi, my name is Liu Kang, and I've gone 10 days without murdering people.
Because they haven't tried to kill me.
That's not that I do it intentionally. It's just, you know, there's a tournament, and that's what you're supposed to do in the tournament.
Yeah, and if I don't beat the tournament, the world's fucked, so.
Yeah.
All right, so what are you giving Steven Universe future, Eric?
I'm going to give it a 10 out of 10. It's a show I recommend everybody watch.
Wow, Steven Universe future, 10 out of 10. That's a rare anime that you're giving.
It's not an anime. It's a Western developed. It is anime because let's be honest, anime is just a shorthand for animation.
Yeah, that's what I meant, Eric. So that's cool, man.
But I just don't want to give people the wrong expectations.
Where can we see that? Netflix or
it's,
what?
It's on Cartoon Network.
Okay, Cartoon Network. There you go. Okay, cool deal, man. All right, your next review for Chasing Ghosts.
Make sure if you haven't watched the show at all, just watch Steven Universe first.
Okay. Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade, Eric.
Chasing Ghosts is a documentary.
Can I ask you where you've seen it? Because I want to see that one. I've never seen it.
I watched the screener version, which has a little bit extra footage that isn't on Amazon Prime Video. Okay. And that you can find that on YouTube. Just type it in.
Oh, okay.
It has some of the worst video quality, so keep that in mind.
Okay.
Because it is a screener from 2006, and it was probably copied from a VHS, because it doesn't look DVD quality at all.
Wow. Okay.
Okay, so is that your review of Chasing Ghost, Eric?
No, he didn't even start the review.
I know, I'm just fucking.
But I interrupted him.
unlike Fistful of Quarters, the King of Kong, or King Kong Fistful of Quarters. So,
that's still the best documentary I've ever seen.
Oh, it's great. That's a great documentary.
I shouldn't say it wasn't the best document. They sold it as a documentary, but they really they filmed it as good versus evil.
It was a story, and this one's more of a documentary. And it's about it's about how all these gaming wizards from the 80s had dreams of becoming professional video game players, and it talked about Twin Galaxies and how they eventually wanted to do this electronic circus of some sort. And that was the first big tournament they did, and it kind of petered out, and they all kind of got all that fucked over it. But it also talks about their lives, how they were affected afterwards, and it does go in a little bit into insight to how they kind of are as people, but it doesn't really. And it'd kind of be interesting to get documentaries on each of these people because they're all interesting. Especially Mr. Awesome, because he's a terrible person, and I just kind of want to learn about how much more of a terrible person he is.
Was I finished? Oh.
Let me finish!
He is the personification and epitome of what toxic gamer masculinity is.
Yeah, well, him and Billy Mitchell, man. Billy Mitchell's...
Well, him so much more than Billy, but... Yeah,
Billy's a terrible person as well, man. He's awful. I could go a long time talking about Billy, but anyways, continue with your review, man. What are you giving Chasing Ghosts Beyond the Arcade?
You also learned about the sad, sad life that Todd Rogers has had. But I'm gonna give Chasing Ghosts an 8 out of 10.
All right.
If only because the video quality could have been better.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good, man. That's a pretty glowing review of a documentary. We hardly ever talk about documentaries on RP Grinders, and I do.
Oh, also the name of the movie is definitely a reference to Chasing Amy, which is also a movie that was released around that time.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I saw an interesting documentary. Speaking of documentaries, since we're going into my reviews now, on might as well do a review of it. It's called Scream Queen, I believe, and it's about the lead actor of the Nightmare on Elm Street 2, which is pretty much universally reviled. I don't know why. I mean, it's a departure from the original Nightmare on Elm Street, but it was still scary in its own right. But they basically called it the gayest horror movie ever made, and there are
the reason people hate it is probably because they're homophobic.
Yeah, maybe. No,
because the whole movie was supposed to be about the gay scare and basically being a commentary on people's stupid scaredness of that.
I didn't get that, Eric. I know a lot about Nightmare on Elm Street 2, but it definitely had not homophobic, but definitely homosexual overtones to the movie. If you've ever seen,
I'm not saying the movie is Eric, homophobic. I'm Eric, saying it was Eric. Commentating on people who were, you know, about that.
Eric, let me finish, dude. It's my no. review.
Sorry.
no, it's definitely an interesting doc for sure. I mean, you guys got to check out Shudder. It's super cheap. It's like if you get the yearly $50, I think you can still get it for a year for $50. And it's like, you know, per month, that's like what, $3 a month, man. Like it's a good deal. There's a lot of content on there. There's lots of series, lots of like, you can see a lot of these movies for free on like other services like Vudu and stuff like that. But they all have ads. This takes all the ads out, man. There are no ads on Shudder. But anyways, to get back to this documentary, basically follows his life after that movie and how that movie kind of ruined his life. Like he was definitely gay, but he wasn't playing gay in that movie. And back in the day, like it was a different time. Like in the 80s, if you were an actor, you had to take an AIDS test to be in any movie or TV show, which is, I mean, ludicrous if you ask me. But
why would they think you were? Do they expect to have sex just on the set or something?
Eric, if you can find this documentary on YouTube or something, I don't know, just watch it, man. It's really good. I mean,
what's it called again? Because it's not on your list.
It's not on the list, but I think it's called Scream Queen, and it's on Shudder for sure. So if you have Shudder, the service, if you're a horror buff, it's one to watch. Don't be homophobic about it. Just watch it because it's really not about that. It's about this guy's journey through that movie and how he was a rising star in Hollywood, and that movie just basically, you know, just kind of ruined his career for the most part. He ended up in Mexico and came back 20 some odd years later, and he's kind of whiny, and some of his points aren't really valid, but basically it's all, you know, documentaries in general trying
it
to paint.
It sounds less like the movie ruined him and more like Hollywood ruined him.
Yeah, Hollywood, well, no, movie. No, the movie did. The movie got backlash, and plus Hollywood did too. He details some of that stuff in the documentary, but basically you said it earlier, like most times documentaries in this style try to pit good versus evil. So it was basically about this actor, this actor versus the writer of the movie and how he blames the writer for a lot of stuff, which is maybe misguided. And you guys got to check it out. I give it a solid 8 out of 10. It's definitely worth watching. It's only like an hour and a half, less than an hour and a half. It flew by. It was a pretty good documentary. Next movie I'm going to review is called Outback, and it also it ties into my Heiscapade, and I'll tell you about my Heiscapade later. But it's a movie. If you can think of, have you guys ever seen Open Water? It's a movie about this couple that gets stranded in the ocean and they can't get back on their boat, and it's really depressing. Just imagine that without water, but this couple and, you know, dying of thirst in the outback is the best way that I can put it. So, very depressing. But, you know, this couple's kind of having problems and they end up taking a wrong turn via their ever-changing GPS, and they end up in the middle of nowhere. They make a series of mistakes. Well, I should say the guy makes a series of mistakes, and they end up like getting separated, and it's a little tough to watch, but I highly recommend it. It's a brand new movie that just came out last week, and I give it a solid 8 out of 10 as well. I highly recommend watching it. It's at times hard to watch, but it's a tale of survival and other stuff. Freak says AMC has been showing Creepshow. I saw that. I have Shudder, and I saw Creepshow way before they put it on AMC. But yeah, it's good series, man, for sure. Altitude is the next movie, and Altitude's an interesting movie about it's a group of five young people, a couple of women, and three dudes that decide to fly from Montreal to Quebec, I think. I can't remember. It was like in Canada, and this one of the younger women is the pilot on a small plane. They rent a plane, and she's flying them from point A to point B, and there's some subtext about how one of them had a flight accident, and you know, there's a little bit of anxiety there, and there's some couple. It's actually fairly nuanced for a lower budget movie, but basically they fly into a storm. The plane kind of like gets one of the screws gets loose, and it gets caught to where they can't adjust their altitude. So they're basically out in no man's land with very little gas, and it's kind of harrowing. But there's a Lovecraftian twist, I will say, in the middle of the movie. And you guys, if you guys watch it, you guys will enjoy it. It's kind of harrowing. It's a low budget kind of deal. I mean, some of the plot twists are kind of, you know, I don't know, like you could see them coming a mile away, but still pretty good. I highly recommend watching that one as well. And the last one I'm going to review is a very campy horror movie called Bloody Bloody Church Camp. I don't know if anybody's ever seen this movie before, but if you haven't, you got to see it. It revolves, it's sort of like, you know, it's got the whole Friday the 13th vibe with camp counselors getting killed, et cetera, but basically it's a church, a priest wants to buy this kind of campground to, like, you know, have for his church and stuff like that. And it stars the guy who starred in Phantasm, Reggie Bannister. He also produced the film, and there are a lot of funny moments in this movie. It's not to be taken at all seriously. It revolves around this demented nun who you think is a nun, and she goes around killing people. There's a plot twist in there that you can see a mile away, but it doesn't matter. It's all about the campiness of it all, and the stupid jokes, and I really enjoyed it. I'm giving it also an 8 out of 10. I think you guys should check it out. Bloody Bloody Church Camp. I saw it on Prime Video for free, but I'm sure there's other services that you can see it. So that's our reviews this week. Did anybody have a heiscapade this week? Break, did you have a heiscapade?
Well, there was one on Twitter. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Well, can I do the intro first?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, here we go.
All right,
Break, you're up.
So there was a, anybody's been paying attention, the Confederate flag is, once again, people are saying, hey, we gotta get rid of it. But this time people are actually listening. So companies like, for instance, NASCAR has decided to say that we're no longer going to have the flag there, which has caused a lot of people to lose their shit. One of those people was a driver by the name of I wish I had his name on hand. I'll have to look at it. He went on Twitter and said, you know, this isn't fair. Shit, what is that guy's name? Rick Ciccarelli.
Yeah,
he went on Twitter and said, "Let me find
AKA Mr. Last quote. Place is his name."
Let me finish the story.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
Damn. Well, he went on Twitter and said, "You know what? I'm done. I'm not going to support a company that won't let me use this flag." I'm trying to find his direct quote.
He's an Italian. Why is he like? Why is he like? You know. Holding a torch for the South.
So anyway, he there's a lot of that horse shit. Let me see. He's going to say he's quitting NASCAR after the season's ending. NASCAR responded with, "We had to Google your name."
Yeah, don't let the door hit your ass on the way out, they might as well have said, you know. It's like,
yeah. I thought that was one of the greatest responses from any company. We're just like, oh yeah, who
yeah, who's that? You wrote for us? Wow, weird. Freak 5 is asking you, Break, have you been watching Stargirl?
No, I responded to him. I have not.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I didn't see. I didn't see a response. I was didn't scroll all the way down. All right. Okay. Yeah, that's a great one, man.
I wish I could find the exact response, but I just I'm quitting because of this. This isn't fair. Like this Confederate flag isn't about hate. It's about our legacy of rebelling and being rebels.
But Breakman,
your legacy of rebelling against the government because you want to own other people.
I had
How is it not about racism?
Breakman, I had a Democrat argue with me tooth and nail on Twitter about this very issue. I put out a tweet about like good riddance or something to the flag at NASCAR and good on NASCAR and all this. And he's like, well, actually, it was about tradition and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, it was purely about being a traitor to the United States of America. It was the United States of America versus the Confederacy. The end. Who won? The United States of America.
A country that lost so hard it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, it's so stupid, man. It's like really dumb. Anyways.
And that flag wasn't – it was only one of a few they used, you know. Probably the most prominent one we all know is the white flag, though.
Yeah, I saw that on Twitter. Somebody had put that up.
White flag with two holes.
Yeah, to put a stick in it so they could wave it over their head as they gave up their traitorous vision of what they wanted the United States to be. Yeah.
Just waving that white flag of surrender.
Yeah.
Because that's what they did. They quit. They surrendered. They said, oh, you know what? We're dumb. We lost.
Yeah.
And they didn't start this whole movement of saying that we're the rebels and stuff. This happened, I think, started 50 years afterwards or something like that, where people started rewriting history completely.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll talk about rewriting history in a minute, Break. But
that's what the Trump administration is trying to do in every way. That's the only way they know they can survive is to completely rewrite history.
Yeah, and it's not working, man. Like the riots prove it. Like, you know, the peaceful protests, I should say, they're not riots. They're peaceful protests have proven this beyond a shadow of a doubt, man. Like things are changing, man. Anything else, Break?
No, I wish I could find that tweet. Damn it.
Yeah, he probably erased it, man. Like, you know. Eric, did you have a heiscapade this week?
No.
Okay. I'm calling mine Pee on You. All right. I told you about the movie Outback, right? And it's kind of commonly known that if you're dying of thirst, you can actually, you know, drink your pee and stuff like that. But there was another use of...
How the hell do you aim it?
Well, you put
like,
it in a bottle.
Especially if you're a woman. Like, how do you gotta, like, fold yourself over or something?
No, you put it in a bottle. That's what you do. But anyways...
you mean you could put it... Oh, yeah.
There's a point at the beginning of this movie...
Right from the tap.
Tap. ask Donald Trump about that. He knows more about that than anybody else. But anyways, at the beginning of the movie, there was this scene where the couple in question was... you know, kind of playing in the ocean in Australia, and the guy gets stung by a jellyfish, and it was a nasty sting. And he tells the girl, you know, pee on it. You know, I don't know if that's 100% accurate that if you pee on a jellyfish sting that works, but it's kind of common knowledge.
Yeah, that sounds like a old wives' tale.
Yeah, it is. I believe it is. There might be some validity to it because of the ammonia and, you know, whatever. You know,
it's one of those things I've heard all my life, but I don't.
Yeah, yeah, I'm skeptical.
I probably believed it as a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, I don't know about that.
I'm skeptical of it. But anyways... The whole point of this is Bernie and I are watching this movie and Bernie with a straight face, she was as serious as she's ever got. And she said, sweetheart, I would pee on you. And I'm like,
you are
thanks,
Kelly.
Sweetheart. Thank you. Thank you, Bernie. You're the best. You know, I mean, what else? But I mean, she was dead serious and it was like such a great touching thing for her to say. But at the same time, I was like, how am I supposed to feel about that? You would pee on me.
How high are you?
So I thought that was pretty funny, man. I thought I'd bring that to you. But she was serious, man. She'll definitely pee on me if I ever get stung by a jellyfish. So there you go. All right, let's move on to everybody's favorite segment of the show.
Ah, what is it?
Stinko of the week.
All right, Brake, you are up.
I mean, we kind of talked about it last. Stupid mouse has stopped working here. Connection was weak. We kind of talked about it, I guess, a couple weeks ago. It was spikes in the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Well, it's only gotten worse. You know, people don't understand. We're still in the first wave of this virus, and we've opened up way too quick. It's bad now, and I think, you know, going into the summer months, it might cool down a bit, but then come back into the fall, it's just going to blow up.
Yeah, or there'll be a mutation of it, which has been predicted. But I was thinking about this, break. Like, if we would have done what Canada did, right? They said, everybody stay in your house. We'll give you $2,000 a month, you know, every citizen. And I think dependents got like a quarter of that or whatever. But think about that. Breakman, think about that. You and your wife stay in your house for 6 months and get paid, what, $4,000 a month for, you know, 4 to 6 months?
$4,000, I could pay my bills. And right. I could get food, you know, and, you know, food. And
yeah.
Then, you know, you'd still have some money left over for some sort of entertainment, which when you're trapped in your house, you're going to need.
Yeah, that's all you can do is do stuff in your house, right? Video games, movies, you know, like board games, you know. Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that, Freak 5. His Stinko, he had to put Seraphim to sleep today. I think that was your dog, right, Freak 5? Remind me if I'm... Yeah, that's...
Dude, I wouldn't even be on here if I were you, man.
That's a tough one, man. You know, like when you lose something so close to you like that. I mean, but think about it, Break, man. You do the things that'll distract you from that. You know, it's like you know, you have to move on, man. But man, I'm sorry to hear that, Freak. You know, definitely sympathy.
If it was today, if it was yesterday or something, I could try. But today, I don't think I could.
Yeah, I know it's tough, man. For sure, it's tough.
I'd be falling apart. Yeah.
If my dog bit the dog, I'd be on the show crying about it. You know, that's what I would do. But that's definitely tough, man. For sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Did I finish yours, Break, or do you still have more?
No, I mean, that's just like, it's what spiked in 19 states, they've said now, but with the protests that have gone on and the reopening too quickly.
And none of the cops wearing masks and stuff like
just,
that.
There's so many factors that are just, we're going to get overwhelmed by it. So
he's on antidepressants. Don't do and too much of helps. That. Yeah, beer for sure, man. But you know, hang in there, Freak. You know, it'll get better, man. Just time, man. That's all I can say. Like time heals. You know, that's the old saying. Time heals all wounds. So just, I mean,
but he's also probably gonna have. He's got his own family that they're probably gonna be upset too. So.
Yeah, he's got to deal with
his
family.
That adds to everything.
Yeah. No, I hear you, man. I'm glad you're here, Freak 5. Hopefully, we can make you laugh a time or two. And you know, speaking of laughing, no, just kidding. no laughing in Stinkos for sure. Eric, you're up, dude. Let's go through your Stinkos.
Okay. My first Stinko is, well, it's kind of related to yours, but. Basically, today is the anniversary of the Pulse shooting, for one.
Yeah.
But guess who decided to strip the healthcare protections for LGBTQ people?
Oh, that's...
wait, do we guess on this one?
Orange Cheeto?
Yeah.
The false Christ that the evangelicals...
Yeah, he picked today to do this. Him and his administration.
It's no coincidence, Eric, and I'll talk about something else, but you have another.
So basically, they did a list of changes, and among them, almost all of them were bad, but this stood out.
Yeah. All right.
It basically was done so they could basically allow for discrimination in businesses, so employees can just not give you healthcare benefits. if they don't like it.
Yeah, and that's stupid. You know, but what do you expect? But it ties into my my stinko, which I'll talk about later, Eric. You got another stinko.
Yeah, Ice Cube's under fire lately because, well, he's had a long history of anti-Semitism, but people put on a full blast lately because I guess he's being more anti-Semitic than usual.
I think where Ice Cube's hatred lies is within his handlers, Eric, to be honest with you. I haven't read that article. I'm not going to defend Ice Cube because there have been a lot of...
I'm a big fan of his.
I am too, so, but...
yeah, this is rough.
It is rough, but he has said a lot of things that have angered a lot of people. Yes. And I don't know if it's all for show, you know, like a la Kanye West.
But think about it, like, we think about rappers, like so many of them who say, even some of the best songs, they say some of the most horrible things.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bitches and hoes and stuff like that. Like, even back in the day.
I'm going to kill gays and stuff like that. Yeah. And that was like a common theme in the 90s.
Spike Lee had some anti-Semitic stuff and Doing the Right Thing. Apparently as well.
Yeah.
So there must be, I don't know, maybe there's something within black culture that's just anti-Semitic in nature.
No, I'm not going to.
I think it's, like Frank was saying, like their handlers. I'm thinking they're dealing with the people that they're dealing with, maybe like the record labels or something like that. Maybe they're Jewish executives and they decide to take all their vengeance out.
Look,
all their anger out in the entire religious sect. Because of just people.
I think honestly it was a lot of that, Breakman. But it was a few people that stole a lot of money from Ice Cube, and right. those people just happened to be Jewish, and that's not, you know, I don't want to sound like
so
racist.
You don't lump it, but he's done the wrong thing. He's just decided to lump them all together.
Yeah.
You know, like all Jewish people are thieves or something like that.
Somebody
who's dealt with racism his entire life, you know, you'd think would know better.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's sad, but,
And I hear that Ice-T isn't much better with transphobic comments he's made over the years.
Ice-T's gotten better, man. Like Ice-T is one of my favorite rappers of all time, and he's also one of my favorite heavy metal artists of all time. He has a band called Body Count that came out with one of the greatest, most important songs. I mean, thinking even about the events of today, he created a song called Cop Killer, which people were up in arms with. But I could
complain on him that he's like kind of trying to play both sides because he plays a cop on CSI, whatever that version of CSI is. I don't know which one.
But acting,
he does songs like Cop Killer songs.
Yeah, but acting is different, Eric. Like, he's an actor. You know, he's not...
It's a job, but, like, he has a choice to not play those roles, though.
Yeah, that's true, but when somebody...
Maybe he'd have a hard time finding another role.
Yep, that's exactly
There's
right.
There's no guarantee that he can get, like, I'm not saying because he's not talented or whatever. I'm just saying there's no guarantees.
Well,
has he said anything lately in regards to our current situation, though?
Oh, plenty, man. I follow Ice-T on Twitter. He's a big gamer. At Final Level is his Twitter handle, and
has he said anything in regards to, you know, being on the cop show and whether or not he'll continue?
No, because it's just acting, Eric. Like,
yeah, it's
you know,
a fictional story.
Yeah.
For instance, like the South Park guys, they have a racist character, a just bigot in every way, as one of the main characters, Eric Cartman.
Yeah, yeah.
But they do it in a
tongue-in-cheek kind of way.
What's the word I'm looking for? Satirical way.
Yeah, satirical.
It's satire, you know?
Yeah.
But
I don't know. I mean, like, could you make a complaint that one of the probably most irresponsible things South Park has done is make it okay to be conditioned to think in such a way that that the polemicism we have today is in part because of South Park.
No, I wouldn't make that argument at all, because like Brake said, it's completely satire. I mean, I'm the only minority on the show, and I know the difference.
But not only that, like, we're taking in like pop culture again. We're blaming them.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
At that point, like, that's something that's been done so many times. Like, comic books were blamed, rock and roll was blamed, video games have been, they keep
Dungeons
going back.
And Dragons, you know, like all kinds of stuff. South Park is a kind of a unique kind of deal, so I wouldn't lump them into any which category. But I can tell the difference between satire and when you really mean it. You know what I mean? And every time I see satire on South Park, like, there's never been a time where I haven't laughed my ass off, because they're basically making fun of it all. You know, they're making fun of racism. They're making fun of, you know, racist people. They're making fun. They do it to everybody. You know, I could see if it was just completely.
Yeah, but like, isn't that self kind of like a get out of jail free card? It's like, we're making fun of everybody.
No.
So we're not, you know.
No, because it is satire. Like, that's the whole point of satire, is to bring something to somebody's attention that's so ridiculous, Eric. Like racism. I mean, does anybody in their right mind not think that racism isn't completely ridiculous? Like, seriously, like, it is.
I mean, you could argue that if it weren't for South Park, maybe some of these people wouldn't have known about these issues.
Okay, Eric.
I think when it comes to, like, entertainment, like, the racist people are going to watch a show with racist characters.
Eric,
just going to happen.
Eric,
you know?
I'm just saying, with that kind of logic, like, couldn't you make the leap that you know, violence in video games causes shootings?
I don't think you heard me right. I'm thinking, like, in South Park's defense, wouldn't it be easy to say? Wouldn't it be a fair thing to say that if it hadn't been for them doing parodies of all this stuff, people wouldn't have known about it otherwise?
Yeah, that's a fair thing to say, but I don't think that was their goal. I think their goal is just to say all of this is ridiculous. You know what I mean? That's what I get every time I see South Park, Eric. I think
some people have a problem with is the fact that since it is a parody, it's not a serious discussion. And it's the only way people know how to deal with these things.
Yeah.
So they don't treat it seriously either.
That's fair. That's fair, Eric. That's definitely fair for sure. All right. Anything else on that, Eric?
No, not really. But,
okay.
I guess I thought I might have had a third one, but not really.
Okay, I'm gonna go with mine, and mine has to do with your first. You mentioned about the timing of stripping LGBTQ protections on healthcare from Trump, Eric.
Can we just talk about stripping?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, male stripping has been around for a long time, Breakman. You wanna delve into that and tell us a little bit about the history?
Oh, yeah. I probably should have said this a while back, and I probably did, but fuck J.K. Rowling, because she's still a piece of shit.
Oh, man. Yeah, I could go on and on about J.K. Rowling, but let me go on with mine. It ties in with yours, Eric, the timing, right? The protection, it's no coincidence that the protections for LGBT people on healthcare were stripped away today, during Pride Month, and there was a special event today. I don't know what it was, but also Trump has decided to do his first campaign in Tulsa, Oklahoma, on June 19th. Does anybody?
Why is he even campaigning? He's
okay.
He's the sitting president. And
okay.
He just needs to beat the other person.
Okay. Yeah, Freak Five. He says male strippers. Is that Frank Sweeto? No, it's Breakman's. June 19th.
His MAGites is basically doing the campaigning for him already. So.
Yeah. June 19th is a special day. It's Juneteenth. And it's no coincidence that Trump picked that day in that particular city.
Robot.
If people don't know what happened in Tulsa on June 19th, which started the whole Juneteenth kind of thing, there were a lot of black people that were killed.
Your audio's bad.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys. Do I have to, you know, hang up on you guys and call you back, or can you still
hear?
Yeah,
you might.
Okay, let me go ahead.
Sound like you're talking behind something.
Okay, let me go ahead and do that. sorry about that, guys. My audio was not so good, apparently. So I will go ahead and join the call again. Let's see if we can get everybody back. Is that better, guys? Hello? Do I have you guys? Is that better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I think your description of J.K. Rowling is only half correct. I think she has very certain beliefs, but when she tries to explain them away, that's what she does.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So let me get back to this Juneteenth thing. June 19th is the date that in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where in a nutshell, a bunch of black people were massacred. They called it Black Wall Street because a bunch of black people got a bunch of businesses together and they were doing well and they were trying to live the American dream. And because of a bunch of racist people, they were killed. And it was a very sad day in our history that you won't see in history books. Thus, I know I'm kind of going through the history real quick here, but I don't have time to go through the entire history of Juneteenth. But that's what bore Juneteenth, you know, a celebration of the people that were massacred there that tried to make a better living and got lynched and burned and their businesses torn down. And it was a awful day in American history that the history books won't teach you. It's not a coincidence that this piece of shit racist president that we got decided to campaign in Tulsa on June 19th. Rebel Lust 002 is in chat. Welcome to chat, Rebel Lust 002. Thanks for putting in that funny emoji in there. That's fun.
I you know what? I personally think he has no fucking clue. I think this was one of his underlings, specifically, you know who?
Stephen Miller,
who planned this all.
Yep. Yeah, Stephen Miller. Be that. And I
think Trump had never even heard of any of this. He's probably like, oh, okay, well, whatever.
Yeah. So
I'm not saying he's not like complicit. I'm just saying that he's stupid.
Yeah, I agree with you. But even still, like he's at the head. You know, he's got to take the blame. You know,
he's the one who hired Miller.
Yep. So I mean, If Miller was the one, whether he was the one, yeah, I agree with you, Brakeman. He's not smart enough to coordinate something like this, and right. I want to think that maybe if he knew, he wouldn't have done this. But then again, Trump is a huge racist. This is the same guy that wanted that still to this day wants to kill five black people for doing nothing wrong, you know, for walking in a park basically. So I find him abhorrent, and everybody in his administration abhorrent.
You have to bring up something that happened years ago. We can talk about how he wants to kill average citizens today for protesting.
Yep. And how he tear gassed them before curfew and broke a bunch of constitutional laws. And he shits on the Constitution all the time, man. I'm surprised all these constitutionalists.
Probably using toilet paper.
I'm surprised
the people who scream the highest about protecting the Constitution have been the most quiet about destroying it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that these constitutionalist Republicans are fucking quiet and complicit in this whole thing. But it's a world we're living in.
You're going out right now.
Am I cutting in and out, Break?
You sound fine now.
Okay. Let's move on to Sweeto.
Dude, what does my tattoo say?
Sweet! Sweeto of the week!
All right, let's start with Break. You're Sweeto of the week.
Oh, well, a couple months ago I ordered something because I've got, got to work at home. So I ordered a nice computer gaming chair.
Yeah, can you order a nice computer for that, Break?
Well, I ordered this a couple months ago, Frank. I know. It got here this week. Finally, my nice, awesome gaming chair. But, you know, I ordered it back in April. But,
I think you were still having computer problems back in April. I don't know. I'd have to look at the RP Grinder archives. But, you know, I'm just giving you a hard time, man. That's really awesome. You
shut your damn mouth.
Okay, I'll shut my mouth right
now. Nice chair. I like this chair. Yeah, I've been like talking to the manufacturer and stuff. Basically, it was shipping. There's nothing they could do about it. I understood. They said, you know what? I'll just wait. It's fine.
Yeah, no problem. Well,
we're in the middle of a global pandemic. Shipping is fucked right now. Yeah. And there are bigger priorities than me getting a chair.
You know, that's funny because I've gotten Funkos in like less than a week, man. Like I'll order something and like it's here in less than, I'm like, what pandemic? You know, it's like
how are you getting those shipped?
I don't know how they do it, Breakman. Like I you know, as much as I hate Amazon, I have a free Amazon account via my phone service. So
I mean, how are they shipping them? Are they sending them UPS? They send them FedEx? They send them post office?
You know what? Every time I get, I don't really see them. It's some of them are UPS, USPS, and some of them I believe are FedEx, but they always come in just an Amazon box. You know, so I don't know, man. Like it's just, it's how it is.
Mine was FedEx, so yeah. I'm just saying. I don't know why, but they said according to them, they didn't have enough people. At least that's what I was told.
They're full of shit, man. FedEx is like second behind the United States Postal Service, man. They're so full of it. Okay, Eric, your Sweeto of the week.
Don't have any.
Okay. I'll go on to mine. You guys remember my stinko last week was Drew Brees?
Oh, wait. I guess I do. I mentioned on Twitter earlier, though, but I got my package in from a game that someone was kind enough to purchase on my behalf, and I paid them back later because it was a deal for a Fire Emblem Three Houses on the Switch for like $45.
Okay. Well, that's awesome, man. Yeah. Massage pillow, really? Damn, that's kind of cool, man. And a footrest, break, man? Jesus, man. You're like, all you need is like a heating pad and you'll be set, dude.
Yep. Yeah. I just kick this thing all the way back and go to sleep. It's wonderful. I like this chair.
Yeah, nice, man. Kind of makes you feel like you have a throne now, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. You know, all right.
With this like high back support and everything, yeah.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah. Okay. Last week,
I'm stroking it right now. You hear that?
Oh God, that is disgusting. Yeah. Hit the mute button, you son of a bitch! Like, what's wrong with you, man?
I need some privacy. Right.
All right, last week you guys knew I gave Drew Brees the big old stinko of the week, and I was really ticked off. And most people should have been ticked off because he just didn't get it. Well, I think he gets it now because. And I wouldn't have said it. He issued an apology, and that's not why I'm giving him the Sweeto of the Week, right? Trump got on his ass on Twitter, and he, you know, had a tirade against Drew Brees and said you should have never apologized and blah, blah, blah. Well, Drew Brees responded to Trump and gave him everything he needs. And that right there, my friends, is the type of change we need in people like Drew Brees going forward.
It's a start,
man. I'll take it. Look, he's getting the Sweeto of the Week, Eric, because, you know, he could have just sat and did nothing and said nothing, and he would have been revered by all the fucking MAGA, whatever you call it, maggots, you know, and Trump supporters and all that, and he would have been in this bubble for the rest of his life, untouched, unfazed, and uncaring, but he decided to write a very poignant response to Donald Trump. So for that, Drew Brees, you have now entered the Sweeto instead of the Stinko, and it really wasn't that hard, was it, Drew Brees? It wasn't that hard to understand that the protest, the kneeling down, was not about the flag and had everything to do about police brutality and racial injustice. It's not that hard. It's not that complicated. And he tried to hide behind his dad and his uncle that were in the Army and Marines. And guess what? I had a grandfather that was in the Army in World War II, and I had an uncle in the Marines as well. And I know my grandfather would have definitely agreed with me, and I'm pretty sure my uncle would have too. So, good for you, Drew Brees. I'm glad you finally came around with all your privilege, you know. So, there you go. Okay, I'm gonna put this link in chat. It is. Let me if I could fucking copy the link. Okay, here we go. It's basically, you know, speaking of racism and all that stuff that's been dominating the news lately. If you click on this link, and for those on archives, I know you obviously can't, but it's basically an.
Oh, man, Frank, use this to a gay porn site. You kidding me? That was my link. Sorry.
Yeah, that was your link, man.
Sorry.
Okay. Here's the. It's from an article on a website called Upworthy.com, and it said 10 common phrases that are actually racist as fuck. And I'm going to go through quickly, and there's some that guys like I've been using for years, and I'm going to have to reexamine why or different ways of saying the same thing. And I'm going to go through this list, and I'm going to discuss each one with you, and you guys let me know if you think it's racist as well. Number one, thug. I definitely think that word is racist. I don't understand why people use it, and they usually use it when talking about black people or peaceful protest. You know, usually has to do with minorities. What do you guys think about the word thug?
Yeah, I mean, you're about right.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Freak Five says exiled is racist. How dare you? You're exiled, Freak Five, son of a bitch. The second word, grandfather clause. This was surprising to me. So apparently this was a racist policy that was used to purposely disenfranchise black voters after the Civil War. It says, when most of us hear the term grandfather clause, we just think of the generalized description, a person or entity that is allowed to continue operating over now expired rules. But the literal meaning reveals the grandfather clause was a racist post-Reconstruction political strategy. This is the historical definition according to Encyclopedia Britannica. A statutory or constitutional device enacted by 7 southern states between 1895 and 1910 to deny suffrage to African Americans. It provided that those who had enjoyed the right to vote prior to 1866 or 1867 or their lineal descendants would be exempt from educational, property, or tax requirements for voting. Because the former slaves have not been granted the franchise until the adoption of the 15th Amendment in 1870, those clauses worked effectively to exclude black people from the vote that assured the franchise to many impoverished and illiterate whites. So that's crazy, man. I never knew that grandfather clause was a racist term, and I'm going to try my best not to use it because I've heard that. How many times have you guys heard that, grandfathering in somebody to something? Have you guys heard that, like at work or, you know, out in general? Yeah, it's weird that it's rooted in bigotry. Here's another one, and I knew this one just from life experience and stuff, but gypsy. You guys ever like heard gypsy used as a slang word? Because I've heard that too.
I got gypped.
Yeah, it's mostly like for like Hungarians and like Eastern European people and stuff like that. So that one I kind of knew of. I mean, it's to get cheated or conned, gypped. Yeah, I've heard that. Okay, here's another one, guys. No can do. This came, you know how this came to be? This was to mock Chinese immigrants. No can do. The widespread use of the phrase in English today has obscured its origin. What might seem like folksy abbreviated version of I can't do it is actually an imitation of Chinese pidgin English. The phrase dates from the mid-19th to early 20th century, an era when Western attitudes toward Chinese were markedly racist. So I had no idea that no can... I've said that several times. No can do. Have you guys ever used that?
Yeah. Do Hall and Oates know about this?
I'm sure they do now because they're avid listeners of RP Grinders. Break,
oh,
so.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, here's another one.
That's a problem for them, I'm sure.
Yeah, exactly. Sold down the river. came from Louisville, Kentucky, where the enslaved were traded in one of the largest slave markets of the 19th century. So if you ever used that phrase, sold down, I think that's more of an old-timey one. I don't think I've ever used sold down the river. Have you guys ever used that?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, I never used that one. But, oh, here's a good one, welfare queen. You guys know where welfare queen, came about?
Well, I thought they were talking about you.
I don't get welfare. How dare you? And I'm not a queen, you son of a bitch. I mean, if they said welfare king, I could see the king part of it, but, you know. The term welfare queen was first popularized by Ronald Reagan's 1976 presidential campaign, in which he repeatedly painted a culture of Cadillac driving welfare queens. So, thanks, Reagan. I mean, that's the one, the Republicans hold Ronald Reagan as like the highest, you know, their greatest president ever, and he was definitely a piece of shit. Here's an old school one that I haven't heard in a long time.
This is the beginning of end of this country, in my opinion.
Yeah. Here's one that I've heard like way back in the day, but I have not heard it lately. Shuck and jive. All right. I mean, I think everybody can figure out why that's a very racist, corn shucking and, you know, stuff like that. So that one I did know. Have you guys ever heard shuck and jive?
Mm-mm.
Like jive talking and shucking and jiving. Yeah, it's an old school
one. Well, I've heard like jive talk.
I've heard like, the term jive turkey.
Jive turkey, yeah, those are all offshoots of shuck and jive, and it's definitely racist as fuck. All right, here's one, also super racist. Long time no see. It's very commonly used. I mean, I think we've all used that at some point. It was originally. Yep, go ahead.
You can say about. I don't know. Like, that's.
Let me explain.
Okay, go ahead. But I don't. Okay.
Long time no see was originally meant as a humorous interpretation of a Native American greeting used after a prolonged separation. The current earliest citation recorded in the Oxford Dictionary comes from W.F. Drayton's book, 31 Years on the Plains. When we rode up to him, he said, "Good morning, long time no see you." So it's a Native American thing, man.
Basically, I know they're making fun of the imperfect English.
Yeah, yeah. So I can see that. I know when people use it, it's not meant to be racist, but it definitely is. Here's another one. I know you guys have heard this one. The Peanut Gallery. The Peanut Gallery. Have you guys ever heard that? Either one?
Yeah.
Okay, have you, Break? The Peanut?
Like the context it is now is for people who have smaller brains than the other person that's talking or something.
No. The Peanut Gallery.
No,
like,
it's for people who interrupt.
Yeah, the people in the back.
You're talking to somebody else and somebody interrupts you, you're the Peanut Gallery.
Yeah, the people in the back, right? The people like the hecklers, right? Okay, so here's the origin of this very racist. This one is it blows my mind. It was the cheapest and worst part of the theater and the only option for black attendees. No one wanted to sit in the Peanut Gallery, and today no one wants to hear from the Peanut Gallery. You know what I mean? So that's definitely a racist term that I did not know was racist. So I was definitely ignorant to that because I've used Peanut Gallery before. Here's another one, and this is the last one. Uppity. Let's see. It says, as of now, the word uppity is often used as a synonym for stuck up or pretentious or conceited, but the roots of the word are far more specific and racist. The word uppity was first used by Southerners to refer to slaves who did not fall in line or acted as if they, quote, didn't know their place. So basically, any black person who overtly stood up to racism, given the heaviness of this origin, it seems best to leave this word at home when looking to describe a pretentious acquaintance. So the word uppity has roots in definitely racist roots, uppity. Every time I use the word uppity, I actually use it for uppity old white guys. Like I usually use that term for like the NFL, like the owners. I always refer to them as uppity, you know, but it's pretty insensitive to say that. So I'm going to try to not say that. Have you ever heard that break, uppity? Have you?
It's usually an adjective, though.
Yeah. Yeah, what do you mean? Like how would you say uppity?
I'm saying like when I've heard it as a racist term, it's like uppity N-word. You know?
Oh, that's, yeah, okay.
Like
so
slavery,
see,
stuff like that.
Yeah, see, I used it differently. I actually used it for like rich people, like rich, mostly rich white people.
Oh, okay.
That's why the term bougie works.
Yeah, bougie. Okay, so that was that. We're not going to have much time to go over the next two things, but Eric, why don't you talk a little bit about moral licensing, and then I'll get into virtual signaling real quick. I know we had a history lesson here today, but whatever.
Moral licensing is a very childish idea that since you've got your education and like let's say from church, for example, learning right from wrong. It's like you go to church, you learn church school for so many years, you did all the things, so you're good, right? No.
Yeah.
So basically people feel like they don't need to keep at it like a job, because that's what you have to do for morals and ethics.
Yeah, it's so weird. We talk about religion quite a bit on this show, and it's more of a religious thing than anything, Eric. I'm glad you brought that up, because when somebody you know, is moral licensed, they...
But, you know, there is spillover into, like, the educational system.
Yeah.
Basic
yeah.
right and wrong stuff, so...
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, moral licensing only goes so far in the church. You brought up a very good example, Breakman. Like church, they tell you to love your neighbor, right? But in the same breath, they'll tell you that gay people are going to hell. So that's a moral license. You know, you've lived your life, your entire life, thinking one specific way of thinking, and you know, on the fringes, there are things that you're dead wrong on, you know, and that's what moral licensing is really, really about, is thinking that you're in the right when you know, society knows you're wrong. What were you saying?
If you're going to treat morals like licenses, you might as well renew them.
Yeah, absolutely. Renew them. If you're going to moral license, then renew your license, because you can always learn a thing or two. Like I just learned a few things that I never knew. I never knew peanut gallery was rooted in racism, you know. And these are, I'm glad we're bringing these topics up, because these are things to get people thinking.
Yeah, I always thought that was like something related to the peanuts.
Yeah, no,
actually,
I see. That's
what
the
you
thing.
Mean, like they throw peanuts in the back.
You see how it's in?
No, like the comic, the peanuts.
Yeah,
like
no.
Snoopy and them. Like I thought it was related to that in some way.
You see,
like I didn't think it came from the comic, but I thought it was like. Directed.
I'm with you, Breakman. Like we're sometimes so sheltered in the way we think that we don't understand some of the. Like I'm guilty of it, Break, and I'm fucking minority as minorities can be. You know, other than being black. You know, like I, you know, that there are things that I've said and done over the years that have been completely wrong, and it's it puts things in perspective. I'm glad we're doing this. You know. Here's another one, and I'm going to talk a little bit about virtue signaling. And basically, this happens a lot in politics. I talked to Eric a little bit about this before we got on the show. But basically, it's like when politicians like say that they're, you know, oh, I'm so against racism, and you know, I'm against this or that. It could be any topic, right? And then they vote just the opposite. You know, they say things that are expedient and good for them, you know, and could get them votes, but then they don't live their lives that way, you know, and you see it all
Obama,
the damn time.
Despite no longer being in the political game, still has much to gain from doing something like what he did like a week ago, because he can get connections that way and thus money.
Yeah. So you're saying all the right things at the right times for your own gain. That's my take on virtue signaling. And I bring all these things up because they kind of tie in together, and it's super important for the times that we're living in right now. You know, it's like things that you've said in the past that you no longer say. Like you brought up a good one, Breakman, in chat. You said you used the term gay as an insult because you didn't know any better. You know, you just plain didn't know, you know, that, like, calling somebody gay.
Well, it was, I was about to say in chat, like, I had no idea, like, how homophobic I really was.
Well, yeah, and it's not like you were intentionally, like, doing that, but it was such a negative, like, but see, here's the difference between you and somebody like a Trump supporter, Breakman, is you've grown as a person, right? You've learned and have adapted, and I've learned and adapted plenty of times. Like I've learned so much, like in my life, you guys
yeah
know.
Like if we could go back in time, we would smack our younger selves, you
yeah
know?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Man, no question,
like,
man,
upside of the back of the head, like, you goddamn moron, like, you're not paying attention to what you're saying or what you're doing.
Yep, absolutely, man. Like, so it's good to be reminded of these things and where we came from, Breakman, because like we're living in a world right now that is quickly changing, and changing for the better. I could have easily put in my sweeto the fact that the Minneapolis city councilor has voted to disband the Minneapolis police, which I think is absolutely the right thing to do. They obviously have a systemic problem there. I was talking to Eric about this before the show too, Breakman. Like, I wish they would do that here in Denver, because Denver's police is deeply corrupt, and it's been corrupt for like decades. And I'm sure I've seen shit in Cincinnati, like on video, that I'm like disgusted with that police department. It's time to rethink and reshape, you know. And I know, here's, you know, the argument people give me all the time, well, you know, what are you going to do if you don't have police? Who are you going to call if you get into trouble? Number one, I'm a minority, and I would never call the police to come and help,
like,
me.
I don't even think police departments give reviews anymore. They just give a report, and they're like, okay.
They don't just care. I could go into that too. Like if somebody puts in a complaint, the complaint goes nowhere. But I honestly think it's time to reassess, redo every single police department in every major city, and even in some of the smaller cities, and get things to back to the way they were before.
Yeah,
we
seeing all over Twitter.
Eric, let me finish. That's okay. Let's get things back to before, like when we could trust police officers, right? For the longest time, police officers didn't have guns. They had batons, and they would patrol the streets. And if they saw something bad, first of all, the community would not allow it to happen. And second, the police would be on it. They would be patrolling, and people were friendly with them. And there was none of this shit, you know, unless you were a minority. But I hear this argument all the time, you know, like especially rich people that live in gated communities, they'll say this. Well, we don't need the police. Why do they need the police so much? You know, and I'm like, exactly. We don't need the police. You don't need the police. You know, there are certain instances, yes, I understand, like if somebody's getting their ass beat or shot or whatever, because we have so many fucking guns in this country. But those are special exceptions, right? There are ways. Like, I know it was in, what was it, Cambridge, New Jersey. They disbanded the police, and they came up with a community police program. And guess what? Crime didn't go up. There's not going to be anarchy. Crime went down 60% in Cambridge, New Jersey, once they disbanded their police. And I'm super interested to see what happens in Minneapolis, Minnesota, because that's going to be the blueprint right there. If they do it right, that's going to be the blueprint for the entire country. If they do it right and the crime rates go way down, we know that there's a better way. And there is a better way, because we can't afford more George Floyd's getting killed, right? Who's next? Is it your brother, your sister, your mom, your dad, your kids? You know, George Floyd is all of us, right? He's not just one man. He's all of us. And any one of us could have been put in that situation, because I know none of us are making $100,000 a year or more. So, you know, if you think it can't happen to you, it definitely can, right? I thought I was invincible until I had a gun pulled on me at the age of 16 for what they perceived me as smoking marijuana. And I, at that time, I wasn't smoking marijuana. So, you know, if you can get a gun pulled on you for smoking weed, you can get a gun pulled on you for anything. And who's to say that cop isn't going to shoot you? So, you know, we're all George Floyd. We're all in the same world. We need to change things. And that's a good fucking start. So, you know, I don't mean to go too much on a rant. And I know we, you know, are running up against it, guys. And I, you know, I'm full of air. But I don't know. What do you guys think about what they're doing in Minneapolis? Like they are disbanding the police in Minneapolis and doing things differently.
Well, one of the things that I guess I've seen on like conservative websites, and they're saying, like, they're talking about getting rid of the police in Minneapolis. Minneapolis is one of the standards for a police force. And, well, if they're a standard for a police force, then yeah, they gotta go.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, like, they keep, you know, they keep it up with the abusing. It's like men with guns abusing unarmed, basically.
Yep, exactly.
I mean, if anybody are thugs, it's the guys with the guns, right?
Absolutely. I totally agree. It, you know, I watch a lot of these First Amendment audits. And this one guy, his name, he's from High Desert Community Watch. He always tells the cops, you know, there was no danger until you showed up with a gun. And it's so completely true. And I think it's a profound statement to say there was no danger until you showed up with a gun. You know, I don't even know a gun owner. Do you guys know? Like, I mean, I'm not.
I know a lot.
Well yeah, Ohio, I guess.
I know a lot of gun owners.
Yeah.
It's so weird.
They're hunters.
Yeah, Eric's like, yep.
They're hunters. They hunt
a
lot.
If you live in Ohio, you know at least one person that owns a gun. Or you're related to at least one person that owns a gun.
I mean, like, seriously, like, it really doesn't happen that often, you know, that we really need a person. Like, I can think of a few things: armed robbery, rape, murder. Those three things, yeah. We need guns. We need police with guns. But well, anything else, we don't need
it. I know people right now, I could go get an assault rifle if I absolutely needed one.
Wow.
I've never needed one.
Yeah.
You know?
Freak says his only fear is that the people who support the police will go there and commit crimes to make Minneapolis regret this decision. Well, that's why we need our cameras, Freak 5. Hey, that's why we need our cameras.
Dog.
We need. Yeah, sorry, my dog is going nuts. Hey, what's wrong with you? Sorry about that, guys. All right.
Need me? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. No, she's barking because she heard the front door. She like barks at everything. I mean, so crazy.
Oh, who? Man. New person. Gotta run.
Yep. Exactly. All right, guys. I think that's gonna do it. Let's go to our plugs. Let's start with you, Brake.
You can follow me at Break Unders. Well, I wanted to say a thing. Like, when they say defunding the police, like, one of the biggest things is cops have tanks.
Yep.
And yep. Machine guns.
They don't need that.
Warfare.
Yeah.
Are you fighting?
I've seen arguments online when people are saying, oh, you know, the pepper spray, that, or what, I'm sorry, the tear gas, that's not chemical warfare.
How come
fuck it isn't?
Yeah, how come it's banned?
Outlawed in war.
Yep, we can't use tear gas in war. Why can we use them on our own citizens? It's stupid, you know. Yeah. So, she was saying that Frank is racist for exiling me. How dare you, Prequel? You're exiled.
I'll pull Chappie because Chappie's a good movie to see that commentates on this whole situation.
Yeah, Chappie is a good movie, man. I like Chappie. It's an underrated movie. It's from the same guy who did District 9, which is another great movie. Okay, your plugs, Break.
Also, like, what are the cops getting ready for? Are the cops getting ready for that fight with ED209?
Exactly. Ed 209, yeah.
I think they used 9/11 as like a you know, we need to gear up and stuff like that. But we've never, I mean, there ever been a situation where we've needed something like that? We've been in, there have been mass shooting situations where nobody with an assault rifle has been around to do anything to stop it, you know?
Yep.
And the guy, when the guys show up with the assault rifles, the shooter's already surrendering.
Yep.
You know?
Columbine was a good example of that. You know, I mean, they didn't go in. I mean, if you saw the footage of those coward cops, they didn't go in. You know, so I don't even know what to say, man. Let's do your plugs, Break.
We need web.
Hold on, Eric.
More like
Eric,
solo guns.
Eric,
at the very
we got it. Eric, we got.
Let him finish. I want to hear what he's
saying. Okay, what were you saying, Eric?
It should be more like Tenchi Muyo, where we'll pull out like a gun that shoots like ball of dirt or nets or whatever.
Yeah. Okay, your plugs, Break.
Like that stupid gun in Beverly Hills Cop. Yeah, such a terrible movie.
Yeah,
but that gun was that's one of the worst guns I've ever seen too. Anyway, you can follow me at @break_man on Twitter and at @RPGrinders, where you can ask us any question whatsoever. I mean, if you want to need relationship advice or, you know, how to be a racist, you know, we can answer those questions for you.
Yeah.
Now, what would you think about what would you think about a slime gun that just, you know, gets people stuck in place?
I think that would be an option, a good option.
I want one to be like the the positive slime proton pack.
That just makes you happy.
Yeah. How about like a gun that shoots weed smoke into the crowd? That would be better, man.
I mean, really, that's what we need
gas.
Is like a happy
weed gas.
We need guns that make people happy is what we need. Yeah. Because Jesus Christ.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, Eric.
Everybody's the escalators. That's what we call them.
Yeah. All right, Eric. You're up.
I'll plug Rochelle and Amanda Hines from Electric Shishud. They've got a new, podcast on YouTube called Black Capat, and they're talking about the systemic issues of racism in the country.
Wow. If you're listening...
They did their first episode, and it's about like an hour and 15 minutes long or so.
I'm down to hear that, man. I haven't heard from Panda in forever, man. Wow, that's cool. Who isn't a former co-host on RP Grinders, man? I chase everybody away, man, I think, except for you guys. You guys have been here forever, so... All right, anything else, Eric?
You know, I use alcohol.
Other than that, I've got reviews on sites like BostonBastardGay.com and VogNetwork.com. I wanted to get a review up this week, but I just got so tired after work every day. It's been busy. And I have to work there tomorrow, so I'll probably, like, I don't know, not write anything until after I get home.
All right. Anything else, Eric?
Having to work on weekends sucks. That's an unplug.
Yeah, you need to unplug that from your life, man, for sure. All right, I want to thank.
I don't miss working on weekends. Fuck weekends. Fuck working retail.
Yeah. All right, I want to thank everybody that was in chat. Another TV viewer, Bistlerich, was in chat. Thank you for joining. Commander Root, who's here.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't quite finished, but if you liked my reviews I've written, you can support me at Patreon. The Patreon link is in my profile, which is. On Twitter at EricRPG. Send me as little as a dollar. That would help out.
All right. Eric, anything else?
Nope.
All right. Thanks to Commander Root, our good friend Freak5 Chaos. And sorry to hear about your dog, Freak5. I know it's really tough, especially after 15 years, dude. I can't imagine how you feel right now. I mean, I could because I've lost dogs that live that long. But, you know, thanks for joining and really appreciate you being in chat for sure. Lurks was in chat. Check out Lurks on Twitch. He's a pretty good like Fortnite player and stuff like that. And Need Him is in chat. Like him, like his, like church him. So I'm guessing that we've got the evangelicals in there trying to gather intelligence and stuff like that. So you can follow me.
I was just wondering who Rebel Lust was. Was that because we started talking about Confederacy? They're like, wait a minute, we gotta get these guys.
Yeah, I'll plug the brave souls that deface the Churchill statue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You could follow me on Twitter at
Winston Churchill.
You can follow me on Twitter at Frank Branches and on all of the systems, RP Grinders. So just search RP Grinders on all the systems, and that's where you will find me. Freak says Frank appreciates me so much that he exiled me. Yeah, this will be my third time exiling you, Freak 5, you son of a bitch. Okay. And that's about it for this week. Stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here all next week. You know, try not to hurt anybody out there. Be peaceful. Videotape everything that you can. Grab your cameras because there's cops going around poking holes in people's tires, which I've seen, which I could have talked about. There's cops putting out bricks for people to throw. So don't take the bait, you know, try to be as peaceful as you can unless you're pushed into a corner, and then what else can you do? So, all right, stay safe this weekend. We want to see you back here next week. Till then, we're out. Later, everybody. Christopher Columbus. Just thought I'd say that.
Yeah.